We're going to start a series today in thinking about outreach and sharing our faith. So can we put some lights on me? It's just gone a bit dark. Thank you so much. I'm more for the people on this online, I think, than just me. But good to just have this opportunity just to think about that and think about outreach. And the other thing is, I just say, if you are a regular member here coming along, then I think last week's sermon's really important one to listen to. So if you weren't here, I wasn't, so I listened on catch-up. And it was just really good to hear and just hear about giving to the church and the importance of that and blessed to be a blessing to others. So I just really encourage you to listen to that if you haven't already done so. I'm Andrew. I am working. I'm a bit echoey here, Stephen. Can you just? Yeah. I'm a church worker here in Dundee Elam, and it's just a real pleasure to speak to you this morning, as I say, on this theme of reaching others. And it's going to be one of 3 weeks. When King Edward the VII was in power, he invited William Booth to come. Who was the leader of the Salvation Army, to come and to be hosted at Buckingham Palace. And for some reason, King Edward the VII put out his autograph book at the end to sign. He got everyone who came to the Buckingham Palace to sign. And this is what William Booth, as I say, the leader who set up the whole Salvation Army, wrote. "Your Majesty, some men's ambition is art. Some men's ambition is fame. Some men's ambition is gold. My ambition is the souls of men. My ambition is the souls of men." And that's what we're going to be thinking about. As some of you know, I work for Dundee Youth for Christ as well as my work here. So I do 2 days here. I do 2 days working for Dundee Youth for Christ. Just recently, I was going through the figures. In this last year, we've seen 15 young people come to Christ over this year. Who've committed their lives or recommitted their lives. And I wonder what God has been doing here amongst us. I know some of you have come certainly steps forward in your journey of faith or come to know Christ over this year. But it does feel a bit like we're in headwinds against us when we think about God at work in this way. But I want to say to you, as the title of today, now is the time to share the good news. Despite the fact that there is that headwind against us, it is now is the time to share good news. I really believe that. We're at a time in history, a time where we need to be about sharing the good news. And as God's people, we have been given the task. It's not going to happen by something else. Something else isn't going to happen. It's about God's people getting about this. So I want to inspire you. I want us to grow deeper and get a deeper vision and heart for sharing good news. And over these next 3 weeks, we're going to look at this. Today, we're thinking about now is a time to share the good news. Next week, we're going to think is now is a time for the big invite. That's all our old age service. And then the final one is going to be now is a time for signs and wonders to see people coming to know Christ. That is going to be our series. So stick with us and come and hear and be inspired. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray now that you would help us have ears that are ready to hear, hearts that are ready to receive what you have for us. And may your spirit be at work in this place, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So as we think this, and we're going to need to sort of buckle up because I'm going to fly through a passage and take things out of a passage. But first of all, the question, why share at all? Why bother? Why share? Why share of our faith? Well, I think we need to look at Jesus and the life of Jesus and how he was as he went around. We read this in Matthew 9, verse 35 to 37. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Jesus had compassion. In those days, the people had very little compassion. people just didn't have compassion. You were pretty much, if you'd messed up, then your life was going to be a mess up. And that was the way it was. And so there was very little compassion. Jesus walked around saying that, and showing he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Thankfully, today, compassion is a bit more evident, isn't it? We see compassion shown through our health services, through the different social services, through the different things that are around us. We see a level of compassion. Sometimes it's mixed, but generally we see compassion. And that is largely because actually Christianity has affected our culture. And as we drift away from that, we're in danger of losing that. But you see, the compassion that Jesus had was not just purely compassion of one, there, let's help you with your physical or even your mental state, but it was the very spiritual state. He says there, they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw them and saw that they needed direction, saw that the people needed something more than just food or a miracle. They needed spiritual direction. They needed to know God. We need to grow in compassion because that is the beginning point. Do we really care? Do we really care? Do we, as Christ's people, really care for a world that's going down the plug hole? Do we care for people that they are going to spend an eternity without Christ? Does that make us feel that's just not okay? That some of my family members, that my neighbors, that my classmates, that my roommates, that my flatmates are going to have an eternity without Christ. Is that okay? If that's not okay, then we need to burn with compassion. Compassion needs to break our hearts, and we need to begin to have a life that turns outwards to say we want to reach out to those around us, because that's why we share the good news. And if you're struggling to get that, because sometimes we can struggle, then walk around. You only need to walk from the overgate to the well gate. Open your eyes. Don't be in a rush to buy anything, and you'll see lives that desperately need Jesus. Lives that have lines of all that they are carrying, all that they are broken in, all that they need of Christ. You just look around, listen, reach out. You'll begin to hear where people's lives are at. My neighbor speaks to me about all his ailments, and he's becoming more and more tied up with his ailments, and he's becoming more and more locked in anxiety. He needs Jesus. Yes, he can get great doctor's help. He can afford anything that he wants, but he's still locked in anxiety. So why share? We share because we have compassion on a world that so desperately needs to hear about the love of God, the love of Jesus. Because there is no other answer. Oh yeah, we can pray for the world. We do need to pray for the world. We need to intercede for the world. But ultimately, the answer is Jesus. It is the ultimate answer. And it is the only answer, is Jesus. And I'm going to use now a passage from Luke. So if you want to look at it, I'm going to look at it in the NIV, New International Version. And I'm going to have that on the screen during the rest of my talk. And I'm going to use this as a springboard, and I'm going to keep coming back to this passage and using it. So I'm just going to read it through now. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake Gennesaret, the people were crowding round and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for the catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. So I'm going to take that passage and, as I say, use it as a springboard as we think about reaching others, as we think about outreach. So first of all, we see the fishermen there washing their nets. Now, Danny will be able to tell us, wherever he is, that that's an important thing to do. After you fish, you need to wash your nets, because your nets, having been used, although he wasn't using big nets, I don't think, but if you're using nets, then you need to wash them. They need to be cleaned in order that they're ready for next time, mended if they need to be mended. They need to be ready to be used. So you need to be equipped for action. The disciples were washing their nets because they were going to be equipped for the next time they went out fishing. However, what would have happened if all they did was they washed their nets and they just hung them up and just left them there? Well, they wouldn't be fishermen, would they? They'd be nice, clean nets, but not doing anything. You see, they're equipped for action. The church is equipped, and it is to be purified, sanctified, but it is never to become a holy huddle. It is never about the people inside. The mission is what we're about. The nets need to be used. And we can never be about just getting sorted here, and that's it. That's not an end in itself. It is to become the people of God on mission for God. There's a story that I came across, which could be set anywhere. Down at Broughty Ferry, we have a lifeboat, and that goes out. Tragically, when there's things going on in the sea where people need to be rescued, that lifeboat goes out. Here's a story. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occurred, there was once a crude little lifeboat station. The building was just a hut. There was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea and, with no thought for themselves, went out day and night, tirelessly looking out for lost people. Some of those who had been saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station and give of their time, money, and effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought, new crews were trained. With commitment and energy, the little lifeboat station grew. Some members of the lifeboat station were unhappy that the building was so crude and so poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge as those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency hammocks with beds, put better furniture in the enlarged building. Now the lifeboat station became a popular gathering place for its members. They decorated it, furnished it beautifully, and started using it as a sort of club. Fewer members were now interested in going out on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. Life-saving pictures and mementos decorated the club's walls where official meetings were held. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, with different personalities, temperaments, and from other cultural backgrounds. The beautiful new club was in chaos, so the committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where shipwreck victims could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, the club membership was divided. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities since they were unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. But some members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that it was still called a lifeboat station. However, they were finally outvoted and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all types of people who might be shipwrecked, they could begin their own lifeboat station somewhere else, further down the coast. This they did. As the years went by, similar changes took place in the new station as well. It also evolved into a club, and consequently another lifeboat station was founded elsewhere. History continued to repeat itself, and on that seacoast today, you'll find a number of exclusive clubs along the coastline. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the people are never reached and saved. It's a kind of parable of what the church can become like, of how we can become if we aren't about God's work. You remember this: the church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. Different to every other club, every other institution, Archbishop William Temple said that a bit in the past. But that's what we're to be. We are primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. That's why we give. That's why we want to raise money and we want to be on outreach. That's why we're doing different events, social events, because we want to be on outreach to others. So we want to say, come in, find out what this Jesus is all about that we think is pretty special and so amazing. Come and see. I love what C.T. Studd, who's a cricketer and a missionary. We're not going to talk about sport, so I'm avoiding it. Some want to live, some get that. Some want to live within the sound of a church or a chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. C.T. Studd, and he went as one of the Cambridge Seven to be a missionary in China and gave his life to work for God, reaching people for Christ. Some want to live within the sound of a church or a chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. So, not just washing our nets, equipped for action. What did we next see? Jesus gets into the boat, okay? He saw at the water's edge two boats left by the fishermen who were washing the nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Peter goes out a little. The first step is a little step in outreach. The first step is a little step. Sharing faith, it's about little steps. You may have a vision for the whole city. You may have a vision for your whole campus. You may have a vision for everyone at your workplace. But how about you start with one, a little? Because if you don't start with one, you ain't going to reach the lot. The seeming insignificant. Start with one person, your neighbor, your friend, your flatmate, your classmate, your workmate. Start with them. Make an impact on them. It is about being good news to people. Recently, I went back to the gym where I was used to go to spin classes, and one of the workers there met me. And she said, oh, it's so good to see you. So good to see you. Making an impact on the one in order that then conversations could come. And conversations do come. They all know me there for being the one that is a minister. Who speaks, and they know me there for that's what I do, preaching, teaching, and they kind of give me a bit of ribbing, but they're also quite interested in it. Making an impact on the one, that's what we need to be about. What's your impact? There's a story about a guy walking along a beach, older guy, a bit like going along Broughty Ferry Beach, and he's walking along, and there's this wee boy, and this wee boy is picking up these wee starfish, and he sees him, and there's hundreds, thousands of starfish on the beach, and this wee boy is picking up starfish, and he's throwing it into the water, and the old guy comes up to him and goes, what are you doing? There's thousands of them, and they're all going to die. And the wee boy picks up one, and he goes, well, it makes a difference to this one as he throws it back into the water. It makes a difference to one at a time. We need to be about the ones and twos at a time. If revival comes, praise God it comes. But in the interim, let's be reaching the ones and the twos. And we've got a lot of work to do, folks. We've got a lot of work to do. Because here's the deal. Young people who were questioned said this of the church. Only 8% of them had a positive view of the church. That is a problem, because 92% were either apathetic or negative about the church. That is a problem. And I suggest that that is also the same amongst many adults. They have a problem with the church. They're not that keen on the church. We've got some work to do to turn that round. But here's another statistic. 36% of young people want to hear someone explain to them what their faith means. One out of three young people want to hear what their faith means, what it's all about. That's a staggering statistic. And here's another staggering statistic. 51% have a positive experience when it's explained to them and want to find out more. Guys, we've got a world that is hungry to hear. Now, I know that's young people, but I believe it's hungry to hear. But we need to be about it. We need to be about sharing it. And that's why we need to think all the time, how can we make this a place where seekers and people that don't know Jesus are welcome? So I'm going to ask you a bold thing. Please, can we start filling from the front? Next week, let's start filling from the front. Because then if someone comes who's a seeker, they can sit at the back. because that's where they want to be. Most people want to start at the back. Let's start from the front, guys. Let's see who can be at bang at the front. And don't worry, I don't spit quite that far. Yet. So come and let's fill up from the front. We need to think about all ways. That's what we, you know, so in all sorts of ways, how do people who do not know Jesus experience us and experience what we're offering? Then we see this, verse 5. It says this, Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Can you just hear it in him? The night time was the time to fish. He'd gone out with the other disciples and they hadn't caught anything. And you might be thinking at this point, not another talk about sharing Jesus. I have tried. I have really, really tried. And I'm disappointed at how I've gone and things have just not happened as I want. I want to say to you, keep going. Face the disappointment, but keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up for that family member, that friend, that neighbor. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep seeking all that you have to reach them with the good news of Jesus, because it is good news. And without Jesus, they ain't going to be with him for eternity. We need to share that. But notice what Peter does say there. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Worked hard. What have they worked in? They've worked in their own energy, in their own effort. They've toiled. They've worked hard. And they could just give up. Now, so often when we do things on our own effort, things go wrong. And we're going to later hear how God, how Jesus calls them, how asks them to respond to him. I've got some disasters in my catalogue of disasters, of outreaches gone wrong. One school time, I decided that we'd do an outreach at lunch. We'd produce a whole lot of food. And what happened was only could be described as a massive food fight, which then meant that everything fell on the floor. There was stuff everywhere. I got called into the head teacher's study for why was, or, you know, his room to explain why on earth I'd allowed this to occur. I remember another occasion where I went into a school and I was supposed to be showing a video about a activity holidays, and the video wouldn't work. So I thought, well, this is obviously an opportunity just to share the gospel. It went horribly wrong. It was awful. I wish the earth had swallowed me or the second coming had happened. It was that bad. No one was listening. My presentation was awful. And it was just a disaster. I've had plenty of occasions where I've been speaking to someone and it's just the words are not come out right, but God still seems to use it. But then other times where people just not been interested. That happens. But do you keep going? Do you keep going? Keep going. But then listen to the master. Simon Peter answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Tune in to what God is saying. Listen to the master. Peter has listened to Jesus teach. He's listened to what he said. And then he follows his direction. Now, if I went up to Danny and started giving him directions on how to fish, Danny would be quite within his rights to say, you know nothing. But this is Jesus. And he's telling fishermen who are the experts how to fish. Jesus speaks to them because he is master and he knows all. And when it comes to outreach, we can think we've got clever ideas, we know the way. But actually the best way is following the master's voice and his direction, how he wants us to be, his creativity, his ways of working, and sometimes even some of his crazy ways in which Jesus seems to be saying, do this. Because it's not what you would necessarily think that's the way to do it. There's some things that I've seen in outreach that shouldn't work, but do work. And that's because God is upon it. So we just need to follow what Jesus is saying. And as we listen to Jesus, he takes us to new places. Now, recently, I've just changed barbers. I know, it's a good haircut. But now it's partly due to circumstances, but it was partly a nudge from God. The barbers that I was going to the new barbers that I went to, I realized was staffed by young Dundonian guys. And I just thought, you know, barbers is one of those places where you sit for, well, Ladies, you sit even longer, but you know, for your haircuts. But for guys, you might be 20 minutes, and you're probably going to do it monthly, actually. So that's quite a lot of time you're going to keep speaking to the same person or to a group of people. And I just sensed that was the place to go. So I went to this place in Broughty Ferry, and this guy, the last two times, has cut my hair. A guy called Alan. And he told me that he used to work in mental health, but he started being a barber because he found that he could spend longer with more guys by being a barber, and that he could make a bit of difference in their lives. But what then really intrigued him was he would ask me, so what are you doing at the weekend? Because what concerned him was so many young men, what they do is during the week they get their lives together, and at the weekend they go out on the town, and then their lives fall apart. And that's what really concerned him. And so he was trying to make a difference to that. But when he asked me what I do at the weekend, I said, well, I ran a youth event. And we told them about Jesus. And he was like, what? He said, that's amazing. And then he found out about the youth wellbeing cafe that we ran. And he goes, that's amazing. Amazing you do those sort of things. And then he found out that he'd come into contact with someone who's a church planter in part of Dundee. And he was amazed at what this guy was doing and the way this guy was following Jesus. So when we follow God's nudges, he takes us to places where opportunities start to happen. I encourage you, follow his nudges. When you say, Master, follow the Master's calling to where he called you to be, to step out into the uncharted territory. And the great thing about that barbershop is they all listen when I'm talking. They're all listening. You can see them all sort of like, this is interesting. What's this guy up to? What is this guy doing with his church? And then we're talking about doing things late at night and stuff. So it takes us into uncharted territory. Or like healing on the street, where we stop for the one where I was working back in Edinburgh, and we just pray for people as they come by. And this guy who comes by, and we just sense we need to just have a chat with him. So we had to start having a chat with him. And you could see his face and his whole being as he started to talk about the drugs that he was taking. And then we just said, look, can we pray for you? And as we started to pray for him, his whole demeanor started to change. You see, when we listen to the voice of God, he takes us into places of adventure. Verse 6, when they'd done so, they put their nets down. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. You see, abundance comes from obedience. And if we want to be about sharing the good news, now is the time to share the good news. Well, when we listen to God's voice, then we're going to begin to see abundance. Responding, we'll see the harvest. How big is your vision? I know I said start small, but how big is your vision going out? For a town, a city, for countrywide. We often have a poverty mindset which just says, bless us and may we hang on and make it to heaven. And that would be quite good. What about an abundance mindset that says, come on, let's see the net full. Let's see abundance of all that you want to bring. People's lives changed and transformed. A vision for greater influence. God is bringing internationals to us. God bless the world through the internationals that come to us. But would it not be good also that we make an impact on this city big time? Okay? Now, here's a little challenge. If all of us were to reach one person in the next 4 years, there'd be 120 of us. And just say that in that time, in that 4 years, some of those people were reached. Some of those people that were reached ended up reaching others, because they often do. That would take us to around 140 plus. Now we'd be running two services by then. Or three services. Now it's not about numbers per se, but it is about lives being changed and transformed. Lives being saved. Lives being saved from an eternity without Christ. We want to be about multiplication. And, you know, we want to be about praying for it. And that's why we believe prayer is so important. Our prayer meeting on Tuesday is the powerhouse of this church. And we really believe that that is so important. So if you want to get into the powerhouse of the church, then Tuesday here for that hour where we seek God, we pray for God to move. The revival in Lewis happened because there were people that prayed, two elderly ladies that prayed and prayed and prayed that God would move. We pray and seek abundance and seek God to work. But verse 7, we see this. They needed partners. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they nearly sank. They worked together. You cannot do outreach on your own. I've tried it. It doesn't work. It's really hard work. And you kind of feel sad and not very good place after a while. It's not a good idea. You need to do it in twos at least. Jesus sent them out in twos. And that was because they need the encouragement. You need partners. We need to encourage and spur each other on. That's why we pray at our connect groups and we say, well, how's it going? How's it going with that situation? The things that you're praying for, the outreach that you're praying that God will do. We want to encourage and spur each other and say, don't give up. Don't give up for your son, for your daughter, for your neighbor, for your friends. Keep going. Keep going. And that's why we meet together, so that we're fruitful together. Together as churches, together as believers, reaching people. We need our partners. We need the partners around us. And that's why we often pray for other churches as well, because we want to believe that God wants to work through all churches that name and own the name of Jesus and are faithfully proclaiming his name. We want to see God bring fruit in this town, in this city, in this time. And then we see that Peter is so impacted by Jesus. He goes down on his knees. He fell at his knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. Why does he ask Jesus to go away? Because he's sinful and realizes his own sinfulness. He realizes God's unconditional love. It was nothing about him that got that fish. The catch of fish. It was all God. It was all God. John 3:16 reminds us, for God so loves the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish or die, but have eternal life. God sent Jesus for us, his love for us. It's not something that we do, we can work up. And at that point, it's all about grace. Do you know him? Do you know him today? Really know him? Not just being at church, not just being around church things. Recently, I was at a meal for a church in a hotel. And I'd been asked to speak and speak primarily about young people's work. But at the end, I used the calling of the first disciples just to give a challenge to them. You've been around church. Do you need to commit yourself or recommit yourself to Jesus? And I just simply gave them an invite to follow Jesus. And 5 people took away booklets because they wanted to recommit themselves, give themselves again to following Jesus, or maybe for the first time. I wonder if some here today that need to really firm that up in your mind, that you are a follower of Jesus, that you know Jesus, that you know his love for you, know the fact that he died for you on a cross, that he loves you so much that he gave everything for you, but he invites you into that relationship. And you don't need to say, go away from me. Because he sees your sin and he forgives you. And he accepts you and says, you can be part of my family. And I'm going to get you on mission. If that's you today, then I'm going to say a prayer at the end that you can use as your own prayer of commitment to Jesus. To say yes to Jesus. And then verse 10, we read this. Then Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. Peter is given his new commission. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Fear will stop us from sharing good news. What will they think? What might come out? How will it work out? I don't know very much. I mess up. I'm sinful. Those are all legitimate concerns, but they're actually the ways in which the enemy will stop you sharing. You are forgiven. We all mess up. We all need forgiveness. You don't know what's going to happen. You're absolutely right. You don't know what you're going to say. You're absolutely right. But Jesus will give you the words to say. He promises in his word to do that. So God wants to use you. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Speak up. You see, Fergus, my neighbor, came round, knocked on my door, and he said, have you got a high back chair? He was looking for a high back chair. Now, we're all small people, so we don't have high back chairs, unfortunately. So I said, well, I can't help you there. But he says, I'm absolutely at the end of myself. My back is hurting me so badly. I can't sleep. I can't rest. I can't sit down. I'm absolutely frantic. I'm full of anxiety. And I was like, well, what do I do? And I'd already sort of said that I'd pray for him. And I thought, well, he's in my house now. And he's there. And I just said to him, look, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. And I said, can I lay a hand on you? And he said, yes. So I laid my hand on him, and I prayed my best prayer. The thing about people who don't know Jesus is they don't close their eyes, okay? So just be aware of that. They'll look you straight through. And he's a big guy. He's 6 foot, whatever, anyway. He's looking down at me like, what? And I'm doing my best prayer for him, and believing that God's going to do something. And I'm praying on for him. You know, we've got to just look the fear in the face and do it anyway. And I can tell you, that's what it felt a little bit like at that point, but I just pressed through. God will do something in his life, and he's begun something in his life through that, I believe. With God's help and strength speaking, we can share, we can offer to God. Now is the time to share the good news. And what do they do? Verse 11, we see this. They pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. They'd been called to fish for men, fish for people. The change of purpose that were going to be about the mission of God. And what do? They pull up their boats, symbolic of we're going to leave all this. We're 100% committed. They left it all and followed him. What about you today? The call of God to be about kingdom work. Now is the time to share good news. Are you want to be about it? Or do you want to stay here cleaning the nets? Because we've been equipped to make a difference. We've been equipped to make a difference in this world. The kingdom needs to advance. And we need to be about advancing it. I'm just going to take a moment to pray. And then there's going to be a number of things that are going to happen. First of all, I'm going to pray a prayer, which is for any folks who want to just commit their lives to Jesus. That you might echo something of Peter's, you know, go away from me, I'm a sinful person. But actually Jesus says, no, I forgive you. I accept you. Come and be part of my family. And you want to say yes to that? So I'm just going to say a prayer for that. And you might want to echo this in your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much. I thank you that you died for all the wrong things that I've done. You might want to just take a moment just to think of those things. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you invite me into a relationship with you. Thank you that you are my friend, my master, and my savior. Thank you that you want to equip me for action by your Holy Spirit to live for you each day. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that in my life. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.